Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast in which we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the media business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. Riot Games is the company best known for the hugely popular League of Legends. But it's also making a name for itself as a TV show producer. The Netflix series Arcane is just the first step in Riot's bid to traverse the risky nexus of entertainment and gaming. For Riot's vision of the future, I spoke with Mark Merrill, co-founder and president of games at Riot, and Shauna Spenley, head of entertainment, in a joint interview recorded last month at the Variety Gaming and Entertainment Breakfast, presented by Pixel United. It's all coming up on this episode of Strictly Business.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
We're back with Riot Games executives Mark Merrill and Shauna Spenley.
Welcome, everyone. Looking forward to have a great conversation with you guys. I'm sure you're familiar with Riot Games just because you've driven by that really cool logo on Olympic Boulevard. But there's more to the company. So as the co-founder, why don't you set us up? And for those who don't know, explain Riot.
Yeah, Riot's a little difficult to explain, actually, because you know our roots and focus as a company really isn't gaming, but we do a lot of things, including sports, which of course are esports, a lot of music, and now you know we've dipped our toe in the water with entertainment with Arcane.
Clearly, you guys are not just the average game studio. A lot of different pieces of the puzzle, and we're here, of course, to talk about this gaming and entertainment convergence and Arcane and what that represents, but I still want to do some more table setting. League of Legends is obviously the biggest piece of this puzzle. So I want to make sure everyone understands that sort of underlying property before we talk about the IP.
Sure.
So the League of Legends phenomenon, just give the scope for this thing.
Sure. So the easiest way to contextualize what League of Legends is really to compare it to a sport. Because the game itself is relatively simple in that there's essentially what you do as a player is you join up with another four players and you play against another team of five players. And you essentially are choosing what we call a champion to be for that game session, which lasts anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. And then the depth of engagement really comes from the fact that you're leveling up, you're trying to kill other players. Essentially, it's sort of analogous to, say, basketball, where the court and the rules are relatively simple, but every game is different because there's so much player expressed creativity. And so League has, a little over 3 billion monthly hours of engagement, just playing the game. And so one of the things that's also important to understand about League is that it is a very hardcore game in that we always thought about it as targeting a niche. And it turned out that especially on a global stage, that niche was much larger than we ever anticipated. And so the game operates as a service. It's completely free. And you never have to spend any money in the game if you don't want to. And our business is really premised upon actually selling cosmetic virtual goods. And so it was incredibly difficult to raise money back in 2006 and 2007 when Brandon and I were 24 and 25 starting the company. Because as one VC put it, they're like, wait, you're going to have a multiplayer online battle arena game where college age kids are killing each other online. And then the way you're going to make money is they're going to play dress up doll. And we're like, kind of, but not really. That's and they're like, yeah, good luck with that. But it turned out to work.
Okay. And the esports market, in that report that Variety Intelligence just put out, we crunched the numbers on the size of this market. It's not just about playing the game, it's the people watching it. So that's like a whole secondary market that comes into this.
For sure. And so we always thought about investing in esports as sort of a feature of League of Legends, where it really enhances the experience of being a League of Legends player and fan. In a similar way to, oftentimes the way somebody will learn how to play American football is you first start throwing the ball, with your parent or friend in the backyard or whatnot, and then you see it on TV, and then there's leagues where you can start to learn and understand the complexity. League of Legends has all of that complexity, so it's very, very difficult to learn. And so the way that the game really grows is once people get over the hump, of learning how the game works, right? They start to appreciate how many layers there are and how fun it can be to replay it. And so a lot of players love watching people who are incredibly good at the game perform at the highest level because they can pull off moves that most of us normal humans are simply can simply dream about, and so it's incredibly fun to watch.
Got it. Now, Shauna, you're over at a little company called Netflix.
Yep.
Does everyone you've heard of that, right? So
niche.
It's a little bitty thing. You're over there.
Yeah.
You're looking at the gaming market. You're looking at League of Legends. You saw a certain potential in terms of that IP. I take it.
Well, yeah. So my role at Netflix was to run marketing for all the English language content, all the titles across film, TV, animation, everything. And so when you're looking at roughly 1,000 titles a year, and I was there for 15 years, so I saw everything perform, whether it was our originals or everything that we licensed to. And it's really rare that you see IP. I mean, we all know this, but IP of this caliber that is completely untapped cinematically. So with over 600 million people interacting with League of Legends since its inception, it's incredibly rare that you would not have film or TV adaptations already in existence. And League of Legends as an IP is so massive. Again, being at Netflix, we started to see what was performing across all of Southeast Asia, in Japan and in Korea. And so I started to pay close attention to this IP because it was pretty clear to me that there was this massive demand and no supply.
And so I'm curious, back at Riot, what the decision-making was like in terms of, hey, let's go do this convergence thing. Let's transition the IP. What kind of conversations went on internally that made you think, we got to do this?
You know, I would be lying if I said it was incredibly strategic. What it really was organic and sort of birthed from love of the IP, where, you know, Riot has like 900 people who paint all day long. And, you know, so we're probably one of the largest, you know, creative employers in the world. And so we have this incredible amount of this wonderful creative talent. And everybody at the company is very aligned around the mission, which is we aspire to be the most player-focused game company in the world. And so for us, you know, as players are engaging with the game and loving it, and we're building esports and they're developing these characters and people are playing, everybody loved these characters, but you could only interact with them from this sort of third-person isometric view. They were sort of tiny, but we all viewed them as creators, and our players viewed them as these real characters, and they were curious, where are they from? And, you know, so we wanted to start to build the muscle in other mediums to elevate our players' relationship with the IP and with these characters. And a lot of that started with music, and then it started with some storytelling and some cinematic trailers and whatnot. And then, you know, Christian Link, who is one of the individuals who helped to build our music team, had this crazy idea. Well, first we started doing music videos, which was another crazy thing, where he said, well, back in like 2015, what if we made a full animated series? And we didn't even have dialogue in any of our trailers at that point. And so going from where we were to trying to create something that would be great and meet our players' expectations in scripted entertainment was a massive leap. And so, but then we started just to experiment and do some tests and figure out what would it take and sort of work backwards from that goal of, if we were to try to create something great that did justice to the League IP, but was in well executed in a medium that other people could enjoy too, what would that be? And really, that was the journey of Arcane. And I would be remiss to not mention our incredible partners with Fortiche, which is our animation studio out in Paris, our partners that did Arcane. We worked with them on many of the music videos and a lot of different collaborations, you know, earlier on, and had this deep trust. And you know, we had to figure out how to build this great animation pipeline with them in parallel.
Took 6 short years to get
to
the screen. But again, I think it speaks to Riot's willingness to experiment and to, there's just a ton of entrepreneurship, creative entrepreneurship inside the company. So in order to create something of that caliber, you really have to give it a ton of space to figure out its identity, and that's what they did.
But it's interesting to me that you guys entrusted people who didn't really know TV animation to do this. I mean, when you first heard that, what was your reaction?
You know, to me, it's not that strange because, again, I sort of felt like, you know, I was at Netflix for a long time and we did a bunch of stuff we didn't know how to do. And so the idea that they did the same thing, it's actually the DNA of a company that I love. And so it wasn't that strange to me. I'm sure it's strange to others, but there was no market for animation of this caliber. Like, let's leave the budget to one side. We don't have to talk about that. But
why not?
But just the ambition of it, it doesn't really exist in adult animation at all. And so I just was really inspired, frankly, that they were willing to do something that nobody does.
And part of that is really enabled by the fact that we're able to go long term. You know, and our business model, like, you know, it's really centered around games and keeping players engaged. And then we build these around game businesses, esports, music, you know, consumer products, et cetera, and broader entertainment to keep people engaged and to elevate. But it's really centered around reinforcing gaming.
Got it. And Shauna, at some point, I guess you knocked on the door at your old friends at Netflix. And
yes.
What was the process of selling them on doing this?
Well, it was fairly easy. I know a couple of people over there, so it wasn't as challenging as it might seem. But I think they...
It was for us.
Yeah.
We were like, who are you guys?
Yeah. But I think they understood as soon as we came in, one of the things that really helped them get, because they didn't really know the IP either, but was to understand how big our audience was in markets where I think Netflix wanted to grow. So I happen to know some of those markets. And so it was helpful, I think, to show just our reach in Korea, for example. And not surprisingly, Arcane's done exceptionally well around the world, but in markets where I think Netflix really was looking to grow their subscriber base. So I think it was just a perfect fit.
Well, that would imply you saw data with regard to how the show performed. What was that like?
No, we get little snippets. You'd be surprised. I mean, for somebody who was in that data for years, we don't get much more than you all get. But they definitely gave us indications that it was a success and that it was doing well.
Well, also, part of it was that you guys brought something to the table in terms of getting the word out. So talk about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have an enormous platform, like I said. So with, 180 million people playing our games that are in this Runeterra and this League of Legends sort of universe, we have enormous platforms at our disposal too. So I think it allowed us to experiment in promotion to our base, which I think was why Netflix was so willing to disrupt their all-at-once model. Typically on Netflix, the show would be released all at once. And for Arcane, we release them in three tranches, which is very rare. But it was in large part because we had a bunch of promotional platforms that we were able to leverage on the game side and through Worlds.
Well, and it was a huge credit to Netflix and to Amazon Twitch, where to not shoot down the idea, also around us doing a free broadcast for the first act, leveraging Twitch as well to allow our streamers to do it, because that really helped build hype and awareness in our community. Because again, even our players, like Rioters, were skeptical about our evolution into entertainment. A lot of our players were. People were nervous as heck. They're like, please don't screw up our IP, that they love, when we were trying to, move into, or announce the animated series. And then once people saw the show and it was great, they got really excited, which of course then hopefully helped drive a lot of subscriptions over to Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix broke rules of theirs to do it. But I mean, huge credit to Amazon Twitch to let us do co-streaming. I mean, we were able to really partner with a ton of different folks in getting this launched.
So you launched the show almost a year ago now, right?
Yeah, just about.
And I'm just curious, how do you feel now that you've done this and in terms of your readiness to do more?
Validated? Is that the right word?
And relieved.
Relieved. Delighted. Yeah.
Yeah. And just honored. I mean, and just so proud of, in particular, Christian and Alex, the showrunners and just writers in general who have poured their hearts and soul in building this world and this IP. And it's just really meaningful to them and to our players to not feel the oftentimes sort of skepticism and or stigma by sort of the broader mainstream around our gaming. It's like when people embrace, be like, wow, that's actually really cool what you're doing. It's like that's something that feels different than the daily experience of being somebody who loves games, and where oftentimes, people will be like, hey, that thing you love doesn't have any worth, which we don't think is true. So
I also think, look, I might be biased too, so I'll own that. But because this was built by Rioters for players, it wasn't an adaptation that sort of Hollywood rolled in and said, here, we know what we're doing. We're going to figure this out for you. It was very much a homegrown project that was built for players. And, I think at the time, our employees would have been happy if it was on YouTube and just sort of there out there for free. The idea was that it was a gift to our players. So for us to feel like it's actually getting, winning Emmys and it feels like it's part of the conversation was bigger than we could have ever imagined. But I think to Mark's point, whenever you're in a game company and you dip your toe into entertainment, there's this game curse that everybody talks about. So it's scary. It feels like you're going to somehow upset your players in trying to delight them. You upset them. And we're just really lucky in this case that we did the opposite.
Well, and I think one of the key elements to balance is around that passion and deep understanding and love of the IP and sort of creativity, but augment with expertise and great experience. And finding the right team composition to be able to pull something off is you know, I think one of the most important things to building anything great.
We'll be back in just a minute with more with Mark Merrill and Shauna Spendley.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
We're back with Riot Games executives Mark Merrill and Shauna Spendley.
I'm sure a lot of people in this room could testify to it. Yes, we've seen that this world of gaming is massive and Hollywood understands its importance, but transitioning that IP, whether to the big screen or the small screen, it's a very tortured history. I came up in this business covering television. I remember, I think NBC Universal, I saw them twice try this and failed. Anyone remember Defiance on the Sci-Fi channel?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, so were you not daunted by all that?
We were incredibly daunted and intimidated, you know, but I think the thing that has often given rioters the sort of drive and perseverance to overcome a lot of obstacles is that deep dedication and passion and mission orientation, and that we all share the same dream of sort of like, what, like, wouldn't it be great if, you know, and, you know, just sort of this love of the IP. And, you know, I think when you have incredible people and, you know, a lot of constraints or difficult challenges, right? You can, you know, to quote Ed Catmull, of course, you know, you can give a, you know, great idea to a mediocre team and they'll make it mediocre. You can give a mediocre idea to a great team and they'll make it great.
Okay.
I also think, you know, these are not commercial objectives necessarily. They really are coming from this place of building a better experience for players. And so Mark, who is steeped in games, and me and my team, some of them are here, are steeped in the storytelling, we're really connected in what we're trying to do. I also think that's rare. It's not sort of this separate P&L. It's not a separate business unit that has to kind of recoup exactly. So that ethos, I imagine, is fairly rare, and it's important to us to keep that strong.
Will there be a season two?
Yes, we're already in production. It doesn't happen quickly. So I'm just going to set expectations now.
Hopefully quicker than 6 years.
Yeah, we think
the pipeline exists now. So
yeah, you know, we think half the time. So I think in 24, we will have season two. That is amazing and made all of us cry. We just finished the scripts.
And just a few days ago, we learned in a Variety exclusive that you guys hired a live action executive.
Mandy, she's here.
Is here
Mandy,
today,
raise
right?
your hand.
Pitch her. So clearly there's some broader ambitions here. I know you're not necessarily going to speak to particulars, but do you guys have a sense now of like, okay, we're going to ramp up a whole slate in the next 10 years? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, one of the things that's exciting is Arcane takes place in one area in our world, right, and with 8 characters. And we have close to 160 characters now in a much larger world. And so the storytelling possibilities to develop who these characters are and the relationships and sort of the timeline is, you know, we think are vast and immense. And part of our challenge is, you know, how do we do that well? And it's been really exciting for us to cultivate this, again, incredibly rich animation pipeline. But that's one medium. And, you know, there are other, of course, mediums that may be able to do an incredible job of telling these stories also. And those are things that we're committed to exploring.
You say that, and I immediately think of two words, cinematic universe or Marvel, this field of characters. Like, are you looking to companies like that in terms of like, okay, we've got to build this Bible over X number of characters in Y number of years?
We hear that phrase a lot inside our company too. And I think we try to just stay patient and pace it because we're obviously inspired by Marvel and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Game of Thrones. they're incredibly inspiring. And clearly audiences are asking for these interconnected, intertwined universes. So we can only aspire to tell, you know, phenomenal and great stories with this vast world that they've created that I get the pleasure of working inside of. Our team, it's interesting. It's like we're not trying to tell too big of a story too quickly. We really like these little pockets of the universe. But I think we have a very long runway with IP like this. As you all know, Star Wars is 40, 50 years old, Lord of the Rings older. And so multi-generational IP like this should go on for 50 to 100 years. And so we want to be really patient and treat it with care.
And a lot of that goes into cultivating the internal organizational competency around how to have so many different creators and teams work effectively in a coordinated way within the IP. And that's quite a challenge. As we continue to grow, we're finding different ways to do that. But I think we're benefited again by the ability for us to really think long term and try to be focused on, again, investing in the IP rather than exploiting the IP for sort of a short term benefit.
There's no immediate plan for, three pictures in a year kind of a thing. I mean, we're not in a pipeline way of thinking. We want
yet.
No. We really want high quality, excellent. We're okay if it takes time.
So you talk about the team. I'm curious what the infrastructure is. Do you have now a separate TV division? Are you bringing in lots of Hollywood types? Or you're like, we don't want to be infected by the conventional wisdom.
Well, we
definitely want to learn from the tremendous expertise. Brought in a lot of great people who have great backgrounds in Hollywood as well. But getting the blend right, of course, is very important.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I remember being in a position, being in a tech company and then bringing in a whole bunch of Hollywood. And so it was sort of weird joining another company and being the Hollywood running in. Like that was weird for me. But I think our focus is really clear. Games right now are such a massive part of the entertainment ecosystem. And we all signed up to be a part of that ecosystem. So I think from our perspective, we're really excited to learn and develop together with game executives. And we're coming into it with a partnership frame of mind. So it doesn't feel odd at all, does it? I mean, it feels like we are building a really strong team that partners together across both dimensions.
Well, and when we're creating scripted entertainment, right, it's like our players' expectations, of course, and the audience's expectations aren't just set by what we do. I mean, they watch lots of TV and do great movies. Yeah. And so they're set by what everybody in this room does and what the whole industry does. And so, our challenge has been, how do we create something that can, stand shoulder to shoulder with these other, incredible properties, which of course is really hard. And so that's where, again, I think the luxury of being able to take the time and find the right team and sort of experiment and learn has been tremendously helpful.
And in terms of those learnings, how do you study your audience and their consumption now that it's sort of bridging two different mediums? Are you learning much about how to best program to that audience?
Yes, is sort of the short answer. And, we've learned a lot also over the years around how esports impacts the ecosystem and people's desire to play games or whatnot, how music does. And sort of adding in, of course, now TV, animated, with an animated series has developed a lot of learnings as well. And, what's fascinating and perhaps unsurprising, to many in this room is, but also really exciting, is a lot of people now want to work at Riot, like some of the best talent, you know, in gaming because of Arcane. So it's not just what we've done, you know, from a gaming standpoint or esports, but people are like, they're excited to work at a company that would have the perspective to do something like that or great and whatnot. And that's really, really cool from a perspective. And so, because, you know, TV and film is just, it's such great storied mediums with such, you know, such rich history and such high expectations. And it's like more established in a lot of ways as an art form, you know, compared to gaming. And I think many people are still starting to understand gaming or trying to, because it's a really big, diverse industry that where they're just very different platforms and different business models and different game types. And, you know, my business partner, Brandon, you know, used to talk about how playing games, you know, when people would ask like, hey, like, should I allow my kids to play games? It's like, well, think about games as having different types of nutritional value. You know, some games can be junk food, right? And others can actually be incredibly nutritious. And that's true. And so, you know, lumping it all into sort of a big bucket of gaming doesn't do justice to the nuance, which I think is probably true as it relates to entertainment. And so, you know, we're just trying to learn and align with, you know, great people who, again, want to share that dream of elevating the experience and meeting these incredibly high expectations of the audience we're trying to serve.
Well, it's an interesting growth story in progress, and we're looking forward to following it in the future. Thanks for coming in and talking to me.
This has been another episode of Strictly Business. Tune in next week for another helping of scintillating conversation with media movers and shakers. And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast to hear future episodes. Also, leave a review in Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.